Let's go back to ABI-007. So at that point, based on the data, the decision was made to do a randomized study, which I think is about to be published. Can you talk a little bit about that study?
Yeah, this was an example of another well-conducted randomized phase 3 trial with clear-cut eligibility criteria in which investigators enrolled patients who were either eligible to receive first-line chemotherapy for metastatic breast cancer or second, third, or even fourth-line for metastatic breast cancer. Anthracycline pretreatment was one of the eligibility criteria for the study. The data are mature. They were presented at San Antonio, one of the previous meetings, and the paper will be published shortly. This trial demonstrated improvements in response rate and time to progression for the patients assigned to ABI-007 or the nanoparticle albumin-bound preparation of paclitaxel versus paclitaxel alone, with both drugs given once every 3 weeks. And recently, we have obtained actually the survival data from this study, which we are presenting at the Miami Breast Meeting. What the data demonstrate is that for the overall group of patients, there was actually a 10-week improvement in median survival for the patients assigned to Abraxane versus paclitaxel, but that number did not reach statistical significance. However, when subset analyses were performed, the same numerical difference in terms of median survival was observed for patients who received this therapy as second, third, or fourth line. In other words, there was still a 10-week improvement in median survival for patients assigned to Abraxane versus the parent paclitaxel compound, but in that subset of patients, the number reached statistical significance. When clinical trials are performed in the setting of metastatic breast cancer, you know, they issue one endpoint are used for definition of whether a drug is better than another drug. It's kind of vague because there's so many things that can be used. But based on our experience treating patients, all of the factors are really important. You know, response can be very important for patients if they are having symptoms from the malignancy. Certainly, time to progression is also a very valuable endpoint. So in this particular study, even if there had not been any subset demonstration of survival improvement, I believe that the data would justify considering this agent in the management of patients with advanced breast cancer. You know, it's administered over a shorter amount of time, so it saves time for the patients. It has no risk of increased or severe hypersensitivity reactions. It saves on nursing time, which can be very important also.
In terms of the infusion time?
That is right. The drug is administered over 30 minutes. It saves in terms of potential side effects for our patients because patients do not need to receive corticosteroids, which in the long run can be detrimental to patients. You know, they can have problems with sleeping, mood, problems with fluid retention, high glucose in a small number of patients. So there are several factors which would, I think, need to be considered by all oncologists and also patients when a taxane is being considered or thought of as part of therapeutic management, at least in the metastatic setting.
Can you talk about what was seen specifically in terms of response rates and time to progression in different patient subsets?
Yeah. First of all, the trial needs to be looked up, you know, overall, because that was the primary endpoint of the trial. But you're very wise in asking what happened with the subsets, because that is the way we as medical oncologists manage patients. And we want to be able to explain to the patients the likelihood that a particular drug or combination of drugs may help her or him specifically. And in this particular trial, all of the subsets that have been done have been consistent in terms of the results, in terms of response rate and time to progression. Abraxane was better than the parent paclitaxel for the overall group of patients, for patients receiving this drug as first line, for patients receiving this in the refractory setting, for patients who had been pretreated with anthracyclines. So the data are actually very consistent.
And again, we're looking at 260 milligrams per meter squared of paclitaxel in the ABI arm and 175 in the paclitaxel arm. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
What was seen in terms of side effects and toxicity? The thing that struck me was particularly the neutropenia and sensory neuropathy. But can you kind of provide an overview of what was seen?
Yes. In spite of almost a doubling of the dose of paclitaxel in the nanoparticle preparation, you know, the 260 versus 175 once every 3 weeks, there was significantly lower myelosuppression with the nanoparticle preparation of paclitaxel compared to the parent compound. Then related to neuropathy, actually, there were more cases of neuropathy in the Abraxane or nanoparticle arm compared to the paclitaxel arm. It's important to look at patients' numbers. You know, the numbers were actually small, if we may say, in both arms of the trial. In the Abraxane arm, there were 24 patients with grade 3 neuropathy. In the parent paclitaxel arm, there were 10 patients. So we're talking about small numbers. However, we have to remember that we're administering a lot more paclitaxel, so it's not completely unexpected that we would see more neuropathy.